Good morning and welcome to another East Early Evangelical Sunday service. We're just going to start off with another portion of scripture.
This morning's scripture is from 1 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 21. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept trusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you are healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls.
Amen. And our first song is He. Who is he in yonder stall?
Thank you.
song. It is Worthy is the Lamb.
Thank you.
Father's love for us.
Possible to please God without faith. But we need to extend this a little bit and go a little bit further into the chapter, because God gives examples of those he has blessed many years over the time there's been a witness, and the first one we come to is Abram. So we'll read Hebrews 11 from verse 8 to verse 19, and it says, "By faith, Abram obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, when Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. So let's leave it there. Many a time when I've been on the streets evangelizing and you give a witness, people have said, "Oh, I wish I had a faith like you. I wish I had a faith like you. I wish I could believe." Well, I wonder if that's true. Because if you wish hard enough to believe, you'll be able to do. Because the criteria for believing is wanting to believe. Seek and ye shall find. Look and it'll be opened up to you. That is the word that comes from God. So people often say that. But in Abram, whose name changed to Abraham, we have a very special case, a foundational case. What does his name mean? Abram means exalted father. He'd had no children. And his name was changed to Abraham, which means father of a multitude. He's got a massive number of children. And his wife was called Sarai, which means princess. Her name was changed to Sarah, which means princess of many. So the ultimate message from all of this is that on earth everything looks hopeless, the situation looks hopeless, nothing's working, everything's falling apart, but God steps in and completely changes the thing round. And when we feel down and we come to him by faith, we are lifted up into the glory. What a God we have. What a salvation and what a wonderful Saviour. So this chapter is all very practical. Now, the scripture is very practical. If our theology stays in a book or in our heads, what does it do for us? Oxford and Cambridge are full of people that read Hebrew and Greek and all the scriptures, but they don't seem to believe anything. It needs to get into us, to change us, and that's what we need. So the gospel is very practical. If it's not practical, we're not believing it. If our lives are not being changed, then it's not working in us by faith. We can read the words, we know what it says, but it's got to have a practical effect. Well, a tremendous practical effect here. So why Abram? Now, just think about Abram for a minute, because this chapter 11, of course, follows on from the previous one. That's good logic, isn't it? But previously we had the Tower of Babel. Well, what's the Tower of Babel? It's the globalists coming together to want to rule the whole world. That's what it is. And God sees that what's happening, and he comes down and he says it's not time for that. So he confuses their language. And then we get the divine council set up for the 70 nations, all ruled by fallen lesser gods. And the whole world is in effect ruled in evil. But after that, God takes the initiative to do something else. It's not that he was ever taken by surprise. This was all planned in eternity. So after this has happened, the initiative comes with one man, would you believe, who nobody knew anything about. And where was he living? He was working in his father's shop. What was he doing? He was making idols to sell in the market to make money out of it. That was his job. He was just an ordinary guy doing an ordinary job that was acceptable in those days with no concept of God at all. And then if you read the scripture, it simply says, and it's all in Genesis 12, it says, God spoke to him and said, "Leave and get out and go somewhere else to a place you don't know anything about." Why would anybody do that? Why would anybody want to do that? It's incredible, isn't it? And we need to find a reason why that would actually happen. But that's where he was. And we've got to remember that if we look at the world today, and we see how it is and how it's going, it was a lot worse then. A lot worse then. Society was corrupt from top to bottom. So perhaps not quite the same today, but it was bad. Corrupt from top to bottom. So what would make Abram do something about it? It was a very, very dramatic change that caused him to alter his whole behaviour and his whole lifestyle. It says in Psalm 11, verse 3, what can the righteous do when the foundations are destroyed? Well, the foundations had been destroyed in Abram's day. They certainly had. The whole place was full of idolatry. Now, he made a decision. We'll look at the reasons why that decision came, but he made a decision. And why would he make that decision? You know, decision making is one of the things that most of us find very difficult to do. Very difficult. Now, you were brought up in a certain way and everybody does certain things, and it's easy to follow on and do the things that other people are doing. But if you change out of that, it's a radical thing to change your mind. Now, you might not think so, but it is. When you came to Christ, it was a radical thing. Very radical. If you were genuinely born again, it was radical for you. And it should have been radical for other people as well. But to change your mind, now, the worst thing in all the world is dithering. You know, it's often said in some areas, I don't know if it's totally true, you're better to take a bad decision sometimes and not take a decision at all. That's true sometimes, and not true, so it's true every time. In fact, I'm sure it isn't. But if we dither and have unresolved issues, and we don't meet the cost of the decision, and we're half-hearted, and we don't commit to it, then all sorts of problems will come. We'll be inconsistent. We'll be unsettled, we'll be unhappy, we'll be in a mess. Now that's true in every aspect of life, actually. And how often can we sit down futilely and go through all the things in our youth that we should have done and we didn't do, and what if, that's no good to anybody, is it, what if? It's what has happened and what's coming. But to dither about and not make a decision and not make progress, what does that tell for a believer? If anybody's in that state today, dithering and not knowing what to do, why haven't you brought it to the Lord? Now, will the Lord speak to us? Yes. Will he guide us yet? Now, I'm not saying it's always easy, but he will, and we'll come to a decision. Other people might not agree with that decision, but it's a decision we've made coming before the Lord. Don't tell me a year ago you couldn't make your mind up, and I see you again and you still can't make your mind up. There's something wrong. We need to be wholly committed to him. And if we have a problem on making our mind up, we should get before him and we should let him speak to us and tell him what he wants. Now, Abram heard what God said and he just did it. Ah, this is absolutely amazing. Would anybody do that? I mean, how many times have you witnessed to somebody and you think, well, it took them 10 years before they made a decision? It's like that, isn't it? How many times do you give the gospel to somebody and it's like that, first time? I'm not saying it can't happen, it does. And certainly where people are very much aware of their own sin and the difficulty there is and the desperate situation they're in, then okay. But we're not used to that generally in this country. So Abram was an amazing person. He left all. He left absolutely everything. And it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, that we should have confidence or boldness to approach God. One of the characteristics, if you read the book of Revelation, one of the characteristics that keeps people out of heaven is cowardice. If you read Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, we're to come with God with boldness. To come that believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, and he will answer our prayers. So we need to come in confidence, in boldness. Now, if we're praying about something, and we never come to a decision and we can't make our mind up, what's the problem? What's the problem? Are we not committed? Now, how can you pray if the problem you've got is going round in your head, going round and round, and you think of it this way, you think of what's the advantages, what's the disadvantages, what will they say, what will happen, and a thousand things. And if you're like that, you'll never get an answer. Never. Because we have to come with confidence and by faith to God, and we have to talk to him. What's in his word? What is he saying to us? And then we make our mind up. That's the only way we can do it. We have to have the confidence in him. And if we're still confused, we're not doing that. Now, you could take a decision that may be wrong, but at least you've made an effort and you've not sunk into despair. Well, Abraham had this tremendous thing. But in Acts chapter 7, verse 2 and 3, let's just turn to that. There's two verses. And this is Stephen. You remember when he was, before he was executed, he was speaking to the Jews who were attacking him. And he said, "Brethren and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran. And he said to him, 'Get out of your country and from your relatives and come to a land that I will show you.'" Now look at verse 2. Why did Abram move? Why did Abram believe? Because it says the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham. God didn't just come to him like a voice in the night and say, leave everything you're doing and get out where I'm telling you to go. The God of glory. Okay, something happened. Now our salvation should be as deep as that. The God of glory has spoken to me and revealed himself. We can want it, but God has to reveal himself. We can have all sorts of experiences, but unless God confirms it, we're never saved. It's supernatural. It's supernatural. Everything is supernatural. The world we live in is supernatural. Evil is supernatural. God is all powerful, but it's supernatural. And this was where Abram was. It seen the glory of God. No wonder he wanted to move. It seen something that had been revealed to him. And that's what we all need. We're to look for it. That's our part. And don't give up till you've got it. But God will reveal himself. That's a divine promise. God will do it if we seek for him. Now, we know sometimes today that God does that. God does that anyway. He comes to Muslims, for example, and reveals himself. So a vision of Jesus, and they come to Christ. In a situation where it's too difficult, that's what happens. And of course, in certain cultures, they leave everything and they have to go with him. They are truly saved. You know, God reads our own hearts better than we do. And it says, we looked at this passage last week, it says, if you come to God with all your heart and seek him like silver, then he will answer. You know, it's not easy, but we've got to seek. We've got to keep coming. We've got to keep coming for salvation and to understand what God is saying. But God will honour his word. God will honour that word. And if we look at 2 Chronicles chapter 15 for a moment, this is a story of King Asa. Not going to go through all this, it's too long. Chapter 15 and 16 really covers the story. But he started out as a good king. Started out as a good king. And he did all sorts of things, corrected error in the nation, restored proper worship, did all that was good. But then, you know, he was tripped up because there was an invasion threatened from Syria. Now, whilst he'd done so many good things in his past, he didn't continue to wait upon God. Now, you know, that we can do that. We can enjoy our salvation and things are glorious. But when the test comes, we've kind of got out of the habit. of the sharpness that we had when we were younger believers. We've settled for less than best. We've settled for what other people have said, what other people have intimated around us, and we've not been in the Word of God, so we don't understand. We got away from God without realizing we got away from God. But that's what happened to King Asa. And when they were threatened with attack from Syria, well, God dealt with it, but God said, look, you didn't rely on me. You relied on Syria. And therefore, the Syrian army has got away from you. You made a big mistake. A big mistake. And we can all fall into that. And that is exactly what happened. But in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, it says this, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Isn't that a tremendous word? To strengthen the heart of those who's loyal to him. If you feel weak today, take your strength from him. Don't rely on anybody else. Take your strength from him. And he will strengthen you and he will empower you. But Asa ended badly, unfortunately. You know, it's better to start badly and end well, isn't it? It's not so good to start well and end badly. But that was the problem with Asa. But if we'll come back to Hebrews 11, in verse 10, we know, well, verse 9 says he by faith he dwelt in the land of promise. But in verse 10, again, why did he do this? Well, the first thing, it seemed the God of glory had revealed to himself. We find that in Peter's sermon in Acts. But there's another thing. It says, for he waited for the city which is foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Well, what city is he talking about? He's talking about Revelation chapter 21, the new Jerusalem that's coming down out of heaven. Abraham not only seen the glory of God, he had a vision of what God was going to do in the future. And that's future to us. The Bible is complete from beginning to end. From the creation, from sin coming in, to sin being dealt with. Absolutely. That's through the whole scripture. And the more you look at the scripture for the second coming of Jesus, and the more you look for the millennial kingdom, the more you look for the new Jerusalem and the eternal order, it's multiple references. Why didn't we see it before? Because we listened to what other people said. We didn't open the Bible and we didn't read it for ourselves. Because we're not in the habit of spending time in the Word of God. That's why we failed. But that's the truth. That's where we can be. And that's what God has done. And Abraham saw it. Isn't that amazing? Right from so far back, he saw the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. I think that's absolutely tremendous. Tremendous. And in verse 11, we have a little intermission because he talks about Sarah now. And we find the miracle happening to Sarah, because in verse 11, she wanted a baby. It was just too old for a baby. And it's an incredible story again, isn't it? I know it's happened before, but she wanted a baby. She was physically too old for a baby, but she had a baby. Supernatural? Is anything too hard for God? If God says it, if he hasn't said it, you're just making it up. And you're just pretending. But if he said it, it'll happen. But do we know he said it? That's the issue. How do we know what God says? Well, get in the book. Talk to him. And he'll talk to us. And sometimes he doesn't give you a full answer, does he? Sometimes he just says, well, I'm dealing with it. Leave it. When I needed this operation, I didn't sit down, and sometimes God does it. I didn't sit down and say, what should I do, Lord? He just burst in on me. He said, leave it to me, I'll sort it. Now, what that meant, I don't know. But that's what he said. Now, that's the kind of person God is, because he loves us. He loves us. It's absolutely amazing. And the story you'll find in Genesis 18, and Sarai was at that time. She was sceptical, wasn't she? Well, who wouldn't be? You know, she's way past whatever the physical changes in ladies, and you're going to have a baby. Who wouldn't be sceptical? It's hard to take, isn't it? It really is. But they didn't wait, did they? They got fed up. God said something, but they didn't have any patience. As it was custom in those days, that she said, well, why don't you take Hagar and have a baby with her? Maybe that's God's going to answer it that way. So he slept with her and they had a baby, and didn't that cause some problems? She took matters into her own hands. That's a debt. We're not living by faith if we take matters into our own hands. Don't we have to walk humbly with our God? Don't we have to walk in grace? Don't we have to know what he's saying? Don't we really? You know, we can go to two extremes, can't we? You know, if there's a challenge before us, or if we need to give the gospel out, we can be a bit backward, too diffident, and don't do it. Or we can be too in your face, when God isn't in somebody's face, and it becomes obnoxious, doesn't it? It's like with anything in life, it doesn't matter what it is, it doesn't have to be a spiritual thing, it can be anything. But that's what can happen. So we need to walk humbly. And God did an amazing thing. A baby came in this situation. They made a mess of it, and they take matters into their own hands. But God forgave them. God is a God of mercy and love, and he forgives. Who doesn't make mistakes? My goodness. You know, aren't you glad when you get to the judgment seat of Christ? He's not going to judge you for the mess you made. He's going to say, what have you done for me? It's the unbeliever that's judged for the mess they've made. But we're not. If we believe him and accept his grace and accept his love, what a mighty, mighty God we are. Well, then there was in verses 13 to 16, there was another trial of faith. Because it's talking about in verse 16, it says, now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. You see, Abram's thinking has been changed. His whole mindset has been changed. And it's focused now on what God has prepared for the whole church. Well, it wasn't the church in those days, but there's people of belief, let's put it that way. Became the church later, as we know. But his whole mindset is focused on the glory that God has, the future of his word, and the blessings that all prepare for the people of God. Now, is our mind focused on that? Because if it's not, our fellowship will suffer, our worship will suffer, but it can be focused. And if we're walking right with God, our mind is focused upon that. And we're always thinking, how can I encourage somebody? How can I lift them up? How can I not complain about things, but thank God for things? How can I find a way for the gospel for this person? It's a whole total mindset that's changed. And if we live by faith, that's how it is. The mindset is absolutely changed. And it's what's coming. It's what's coming to us. And in John chapter 8, verse 56. Let's just have a look at that. 8, verse 56. Now, this is Jesus giving instructions. The heading above verse 48 in my Bible, it says, before Abram was, I am. And so it's the instruction that Jesus is given. And it says something in verse 56. He says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. So this is Jesus saying, Abraham saw what was coming. He saw my day and he saw it and he was glad. So God gave him a revelation in stages. Now, not many of us are close enough to God, I don't believe. I'm talking to myself. To understand all this, but God revealed it in stages that was needed. He showed to him the end result. He revealed to him a different focus, but he also revealed the final and effective salvation by grace that was coming in Jesus Christ. He saw it. And when you see that, then the Christmas story falls into place, doesn't it? Why were people expecting it? It had been known ever since this day, in fact, before. We know something was coming from Genesis 3:16. The promise was given. And this is the focus that Abram has seen. This is a tremendous thing. And then in from verse 17 to 19, this is it's the whole thing is recorded in Genesis 22. It's the test where Isaac is born, miraculously, supernaturally. The one son that Abram's got, and the whole of the promises of God depend upon this son, and God says to him, you've got to sacrifice him. I mean, this is totally illogical, isn't it? Totally illogical. But Abram had been so blessed by God and learned through all the silly mistakes he'd made and been forgiven by God for it. He realized that when God spoke, he knew the word of God. Do you know when you have a good idea or a wrong suggestion? Or do you know when God speaks to you? That's the problem, isn't it? And how do we know if we sit there waiting? You've got to try it. You've got to be very humble, be very careful. And was it really God? And test it. What's it saying in the letter of John? Test the spirits. Where's this idea come from? Is it a satanic idea? Is it my good idea? Has the Holy Spirit done it? If we want maturity in Christ, we've got to learn to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit, and we've got to know in these final days when we establish a testimony and the problems get worse and worse and harder, as they will, we've got to know the voice of the Holy Spirit. Know the Word, know the Spirit. Know the Word, know the Spirit. There's no other formula. When I got saved, I was baptized in the Spirit the same day. I had no problem with the Spirit. And I learned some of the Word, but not enough. When I went to church that Judy was in, and I saw the way they worshipped, I thought, I don't know anything. And after I went in my bedroom for about 6 weeks, and opened this and got until I knew the confirmation was in the Spirit, but now it's in the Word as well. We need both the Word and the Spirit. And this is the glory that God's done, because we know the test when Abram is about to slay his son and it's coming. God says, no, stop it. I will provide the sacrifice. God knew all the time. God always does know all the time. The problem is we don't. Things can be look as though they're going down, but God knows what's going down and he knows what's going to come back up. So we need to have an absolute faith in him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. But our responsibility is to get into the Word, do what he says, speak to him, receive what he's given us, and just do it. There's nothing else, is there? And Abram with his only son, ready to slay him. At the last minute, you know, God is a last minute person, isn't he? Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, Lot rescued at the last minute. I fully expect the rapture to be at the last minute. I hope the last minute comes soon, mind you, but it will be the last minute, and we don't know what's happening before it. But this is an amazing thing that God did. But you see, Abram knew God had made a promise, and he'd been experienced enough to know by this time that if God made a promise, that promise would be fulfilled. Now, did he expect another baby? I don't know. Did he expect that Isaac would be raised alive? Probably. I don't know. The point is, he did something in faith that was totally unreasonable by any measure in the world that anybody could ever apply. But he did it. Anybody watching would have thought he was nuts. But he did it. Because he loved God. He'd learnt to love him. He'd learnt to know his great provision. He'd learnt to know by faith that he would lift him up, that he would support him. And all the panoply of history have been exposed to him in a general sense, not the detail, but in a general sense. So Abram was a man of faith. Well might it say in Romans chapter 4, Abram was accounted to God for righteousness because he believed him. If you believe him and believe his word and act on it, that's all we need. Isn't it simple when you look at it like that? I wish it were easy to do, but it's simple when you read it. Simple when you read it. God is a God of power and mighty to save. And in Matthew 16:25 it says, those who desire to save their lives will lose them. Those who are willing to lose their lives will save them. What an amazing thing it is. And as we close, let's just read a few verses from 1 Corinthians 15. And verse 50 to 54. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible body has been put on incorruption, this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Hallelujah, Jesus is coming for us. Amen.
And for our last song is Jesus Paid It All.